I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do drugs. I play video games.
News and Lemonade with your hosts, John DeLuna, XB, Weebum.
Damn right I am.
And Rob.
Here we go.
News and Lemonade.
Hey everybody, it's your old friend, John DeLuna. It is New Soundwave 95. How is everybody? How's everybody? Good, I hope. With me this week, New Rob, XV, Peter, A, Triple K, A, Weebum. This is a good show, guys. This is a fantastic show. It better be, right? It's on the fives. It's 95. Show number 95, we're going to talk about Modern Warfare 3. We're going to talk about Zelda. For the 3DS, how about that? And then also a Zelda bundle, how about that? We're also going to talk about Arkham City, and we've got two topics and a contest to get through. So the mini topic is going to be talking about continuing our conversation about finishing games. And then our big topic is going to be, let's see here, what is it going to be? Oh, what makes a PC game a PC game? What makes a console game a console game? Why do we typecast? Why do we categorize these things in our heads, seemingly? What makes a game one or the other? So, first of all, guys, let's just go to the news real quick. So, Modern Warfare 3, Hardened Edition. No porn jokes, please. No mom jokes, either.
Oh.
I'm looking at you. Yeah, so the Hardened Edition of Modern Warfare 3 is going to come with a bunch of stuff. It's going to come with, for one thing, for the Xbox, it's going to come with like a year of the gold membership. That's interesting. That's interesting. Yeah, it's sweet. I guess that's one way to kind of like trick you into becoming a gold member forever, I guess, if it starts coming with like bundled games. Very clever. Very clever, Microsoft.
Well, if they want to package a year-long gold membership with a game I want to buy anyway, I'm cool with that.
True. That's true. And I haven't read like the details, but I assume it's like if you're already a membership, they'll tack on a year. Or if you're a new member, you know, they will create an account.
I think it'll just come. I think it's going to come with like a 12-month card probably.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I get you. That makes sense. That's probably the easiest thing to do, too. Well, and then also it comes with, you know, of course, a whole mess of stuff. It comes with some a fancy case, which is what we all like. Maybe a hardened case. I don't know. It comes with, like we said, a one-year premium membership to the Call of Duty Elite Social Platform, which gets you founder status designation, a rank which includes an exclusive in-game emblem, a player card, and camouflage, as well as an XP boost for your elite clan. How about that? Hooray for virtual bonuses. Hooray. So yes, Modern Warfare 3 is going to be big. I'm guessing, and they're probably going to move a lot of these super duper special editions.
How much does this cost?
A lot. Let me see here. Well, I sort of
gathered that part.
I'm going to guess this is going to. I need to look this up. I need to do more research before the show. But I'm going to guess this.
I don't think they released a price point yet.
Oh,
it's just pictures for now, I think.
It's just pictures, but I'm going to guess this is going to push easily, I don't know, into the three digits, you know, over $100, easy.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, the previous, you know, the Black Ops one was not cheap. Let me tell you in 1 second.
I don't know, I can't stomach paying over $100 for a game, even if it comes with, like, you know.
I can't stomach paying, you know, $60 for a game, and that's just a, you know, regular watered down version.
Yeah, I know.
The Black Ops Prestige Edition was $150, and that came with like one of these like little motorized RC cars and stuff like that.
Oh,
so
that's right.
It was not cheap.
Not interesting. Cheap. Okay, so Zelda is in the news again. Okay, so we know the 3DS Zelda is coming out later this year. We can look forward to that. If you are still interested in Zelda for the Wii, maybe you are, maybe you're not. The Skyward Sword Special Edition comes out with a gold Wii remote, which is something we've always wanted, right, guys? A golden Wii remote. Let's see here. What else? So every version.
I'm disappointed it's not Chrome.
Right.
I know, right?
That would be nice.
So it could flake off in your grubby little hands. I'm gonna restart.
Yeah, but they've been doing the gold thing since Ocarina of Time. So
they've been doing.
What
gold
is it with the Nintendo and gold?
Since the beginning, all the way in the beginning, right? So
yep. Zelda 1 and 2 were nice chrome gold cartridges that didn't quite fit the NES right.
But were those pre-order exclusives, though? Or is just that was the cartridge color? After a certain number, it would stop?
Well, the way it worked for Zelda 1 and 2 was that the very first run was gold chrome, and then when they reissued Zelda 1 near the end of the NES's lifespan, it was in a normal cartridge.
Okay.
In that case, the majority of the cartridges were gold.
Okay. Because Ocarina of Time was only a pre-order exclusive.
Ah, gotcha. So yeah, that's when that started.
And then this one as well is a limited number of cartridges and gold remotes, gold members remotes and stuff.
Ah, gotcha.
The good news is this will only set you back $70, and every version of Skyward Sword's initial release will come with a CD that has songs from the upcoming Zelda Symphony Concert for the anniversary of Zelda.
That's kind of sweet.
That's kind of nice. Nintendo announced the rest of the games for the 3DS Ambassador Program. So Metroid, NES, Open Tournament Golf, Wrecking Crew, Yoshi, and Zelda 2. These five games will be joining the other announced titles, which are Super Mario Brothers, Balloon Fight, The Legend of Zelda, Donkey Kong Jr., and Ice Climber. The NES games will be available for download on September 1st. That is tomorrow if you're watching New Soundwave Live. Holy crap.
Otherwise, it's in the past.
Otherwise, you missed out. So if you're listening to this, in 2013, isn't that quaint that they were doing this 2 years ago? So here's one for the adventurous. Majesco is releasing a Kinect-based Twister game this November. Let your mind run wild. Start up the key parties. Get the cheap beer flowing. It's going to be a good time. Oh yeah, XV.
You talk about this like you like know about.
Like I've
this.
Already started planning. Yeah. Like I've already designed the invites. Yes, possible.
God.
Possible. So here's a good one, guys.
Is Jell-O involved?
Perhaps. I'm gonna have to like. Well, thanks. I'm gonna have to like redo the invite. So here's a good one for you guys. Arkham City is doing something kind of interesting. When you replay the game, it's actually going to be much, much, much harder, and it's going to give you an incentive to replay the game. So when you finish Arkham City and you restart the game, you'll restart with all the gadgets and all the upgrades from your first playthrough, and you're going to need them because on the second playthrough, all the enemies will have changed. So there's going to be no cues for when the enemy attacks. You're going to have to watch the animation very closely. And you're going to get no help or cues on when they're going to attack. So it's going to be very difficult, probably at first, until you can start reading the animations. Guys, with this in mind, something like this. So you play through a game, you get all the goodies, and then when you play the game again, like essentially all the help is gone. Is this kind of an interesting concept to you guys? I mean, what do you guys think?
Well, just to keep on the Zelda theme, it sounds like the second quest.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's cool because, I mean, there are a lot of people when they do Call of Duty, they will completely wipe out everything that they have just to redo all the way up to 72 again, just to get that extra little star next to their name in Call of Duty. And you pretty much have to restart all over again, and you don't get anything new. You just you get the same weapons over and over again, and you don't have a different experience. It's just to show off because you're, you know, bored.
Because you're a badass.
Play that game. Yeah, exactly. But I think the fact that if they change, you know, the people and stuff, and you get your, you keep your weapons, that's a completely different dynamic.
Hmm.
Sure,
I'd be interested. I would be interested.
I'll be interested, hopefully, as long as like Arkham City is worth playing through the first time. So as long as I'm entertained.
Well, that's always the critical point.
Right.
Yeah. I think I have good... I don't know if you guys played Arkham Asylum, but...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that was
a little bit.
It's a pretty good game, so I have high hopes for this
game. I don't know what I want out of Arkham City, but I kind of... I'm hoping it's more than just Arkham Asylum on steroids, or it's like Arkham Asylum on a slightly bigger scale. I don't know what I want from Arkham.
Maybe a sandbox here, Arkham Asylum.
Yes,
I think one of the biggest changes is you'll be able to use your fighting. So that'll be different, I think.
Yeah, and you know, hey, there's Robin and there's Catwoman, so there's that. But you know, we'll see. I have faith in Rocksteady that they'll probably that's a case where the studio likes the source material, respects the source material to a point where you would hope they wouldn't accept anything but a good game. So they're going to hold themselves to a high standard because they respect, you know, the Batman mythos. Say what you want about how they treat it with this like dark and grittiness to the extreme, but they do in theory like it. So in theory, you know, they're doing right by the series, but we'll see. This leads into our mini discussion topic before the break. So last week we talked about how only 10% of gamers actually finish games these days. So I ask you guys, kind of taking it in a different direction, what are some of the games in your past that you have felt compelled to beat more than once?
For me, Final Fantasy VI for the Super Nintendo. Well, originally 3, but actually 6. Long story involving, you know, a lot of Final Fantasies they skipped in the, you know, in the Super Nintendo era. But every time I play that, I come across another item or another little corner of the game or something that I missed the first time. One of the reasons it's one of my favorites, actually. Other than that, the two that I really love to replay on a regular basis are Mega Man 2 and Mega Man X, because I, you know, those are ones I played through enough times that I can blow through them without any trouble at all. And that's, after struggling with them initially, that is a nice feeling.
Mega Man's a good one. Now, Mega Man is one of those games where, you know, I don't know if it's like just the structure of the game, the length of the game, whatnot, but it really does encourage like multiple playthroughs because it's just fun, you know?
Yeah,
it's fun. And really, when you break it down, Mega Man is, I don't know, if you want to treat every boss and every level as kind of a mini game unto itself, it's kind of like playing, you know, 8 to 10 mini games. It's very episodic. It makes for a very pleasurable, you know, repeated playthrough kind of experience.
That makes sense.
Peter, any games that you guys have like played through completely through more than once?
You know, a lot of the games I've played in the last 10 years or more have all been more open format than that, where I don't have to play through from start to finish. After I finished it once, I can go back, redo certain areas what I want to. I really got to where I don't even like games where I can't pick and choose where I go play at a certain point.
It's understandable.
Also because I'm so bad at it.
but yeah, there's something about open world games in particular that really have made me, in other cases, resent being told where to go. And it actually, in the later Grand Theft Auto games, that they just seem to get more and more plot driven to the point where I just really don't want to bother because I'm being directed more than I want to be. I just want to wander around and blow stuff up.
Yeah.
Don't we all?
Don't blame me.
Don't blame you. Well, you know, the Saints Row 3rd that's coming out, yeah. I think, November. Yeah. From what I've seen of the videos they've shown so far, you start out in a really strong position where, at least for a while, you can just go screw around wherever with a lot of toys already unlocked for you.
Works for me.
Yep. Of course, there's that first mission where it's the free fall dive out of the plane. Which, that's a good way to start a game.
Yeah, it's like, you're gonna start directing things, that is the way to do it.
And then I think you can actually, there's like a jet that you can just find somewhere, and you can just start flying it. And it's like
it's a transforming terrier.
Yeah, it's a vertical takeoff and everything.
And it transforms into a high speed mode.
Yeah.
Using Transformer movie transformation noises.
Yeah. Saints Row the Third is definitely the high point of Saints Row. So I actually, that game looks fun. I think.
Yeah, I'm actually planning to sock some money aside and actually get it at least close to its release date, which I almost never do.
Wow. Yeah, it just looks amazing. And you can, there's another one where there's like, you can shoot people. There's like a gun that you
suck. Yeah, there is a human cannonball vehicle that sucks pedestrians up off the sidewalk, and you can use them as ammunition. Another cool thing is there's a laser pointer gun where that calls down an airstrike for you.
Yeah, right. And then there's a, I think there's a flamethrower car, I think.
Very possible. I wouldn't put it past them at this point.
they've gotten a little, like, that franchise is also.
The franchise is deep into ridiculousness, and they're just running with it.
Yeah, they're trying to be like the, you know, the GTA takes themselves quite seriously.
Yeah.
So they're trying to be the anti-GTA.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, based on what I've seen, it looks pretty fantastic. So
I mean, you can kind of tell that in the first game with Johnny Gat anyway.
I never played the other Saints Rows, but I heard they're fun.
Peter! You know, you can get them for like $15 used now. You should go pick one up.
It's Xbox. I'm not going back there.
I go back there like it's a bad neighborhood.
Like, I can't help you.
I can't do it. It's really
live in DC. Never mind.
Yeah, right. It's like that bad part of Baltimore. It's like no.
What? No. Wait, bad part of Baltimore is all of Baltimore.
Oh.
Not quite.
Well, close, most of it.
Not quite.
I'm sure there are perfectly livable areas of Baltimore, and then obviously there's
maybe not perfectly livable, but how about survivable?
Yeah, survivable.
Survivable. Okay. Tolerable. Okay, so real quick, before we go to commercial, I must promote a cool contest that's going on a few podcasts. So we're giving away a couple of awesome gaming mice. They are from Death Adder. They are themed Transformers. So if you're listening to New Soundwave, you're probably listening to Radio Free Cybertron. You probably like video games and Transformers. Holy crap. This is both. And an awesome high-speed gaming mouse. So we're giving away a yellow gaming mouse themed after Bumblebee and a silver gaming mouse themed after Megatron. Now, these are also based on Dark of the Moon, so keep that in mind. An awesome movie. Better than the second one. Maybe on par with the first one, but I digress. That's RFC talk. All you gotta do is tell us what's your favorite Transformer. Now, that could be your favorite Transformers toy, your favorite Transformers character, anything. You know, what is your favorite Transformer and why? You can tell us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Google Plus, or good old fashioned email.
If you're going to use anymore,
I know, right? It's so quaint, though. It's so quaint. So if you want to take the time to sit down and write us a letter and email it to us, use contact@tfradio.net. That's contact@tfradio.net. We're going to announce the winners on the September 14th show. That's just in a couple weeks, and we'll also share some of the favorite Transformers that you shared with us. So again, we're giving away two of them, two Death Adder gaming mice. Please just tell us, what's your favorite Transformer? Okay, so when we come back, guys, this thing called Madden came out, so we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about an 8-year-old fighting game prodigy. He has a sponsor. Man, we are old, failed gentlemen, because we don't have sponsors, and we're like ancient. Anyway, and then we're also going to talk about our topic, PC games versus console games. What makes one a PC game and one a console game? And does that make any sense? This is New Soundwave 95.
Magneto has arrived, only in X-Men 2 for Sega Genesis. Now, two can play the most mutant heroes. And Magneto.
Sega!
Marvel's X-Men 2 for Sega Genesis. Hardware and game cartridge, each sold separately.
So many dead.
They died fighting for freedom and justice.
The reign of the Manhunters begins now.
Beware my power!
Green Lantern, Rise of the Manhunters, rated E10-T. Emerald Knights on Blu-ray now, and see the film in theaters now.
considered that all this is your fault? Your presence creates these animals.
Confirmation that prisoner 40 is in the courthouse.
Heads and tails, kitty cat.
Shame to get blood all over my nice new outfit. This place is dangerous. I like it.
A lie. There's nothing wrong with you.
Nice of you to say, but you of all people should know there's plenty wrong with me.
New Soundwave.
Okay, we're back. New Soundwave 95. So this week, a yearly ritual happens. Many a crazy sports fan slash gamer lined up at midnight at their favorite Walmart or GameStop for their latest taste of Madden. John Madden Football, Madden 12, came out this week. Yeah. Spoiler alert, it looks a lot like Madden 11. And
terrible game.
Yeah, and for, you know, oh, God, Madden 11, don't get me started.
Yeah,
don't get me. And then also, you know, a little bit about like Madden 10 and maybe just a little bit of like Madden 9. Let's face it, from year to year, Madden usually doesn't change a whole lot. The graphics have probably reached more or less their peak for this generation. I mean, I don't think they're going to have like a breakthrough anytime soon in graphics, not until the next gen systems. Some of the big improvements in this year's game are some upgrades to the franchise mode, so it's becoming more and more like an RPG, frankly. Free agency bidding is now has been tweaked a little bit, so there's more action going on in free agency, new scouting, a new draft system, and a necessity for the user slash general manager to make player cuts during the preseason. So I guess that's good. I mean, if you like to fire giant human beings, that is
great. All right.
Yes. Now, that's my kind of role-playing
dead.
Right there. You are fired, Mr. Beefcake.
It's Donald Trump, the role-playing game.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So Madden 12 also introduces a new feature called Dynamic Player Performance, which tracks how players perform each week. And based on whether the player is on a hot or cold streak, it will affect his ratings during the following game. So it's kind of a momentum system, if you will. The feature also includes other traits that a player can get labeled with, such as big hitter, deep threat, crybaby.
I read that completely wrong in the notes.
Yeah, big hitter, deep threat. Oh, yeah, I don't want it.
You see what I did there?
finally, also, double spoiler alert, the commentary still sucks.
Okay, so what I don't understand here is why people line up at midnight at GameStop and Walmart of all places to buy this for like $70 first night when 2 weeks later you can go to GameStop and get it for $7 used.
That's a good question.
Actually, that's a lie, but... Well, why you should get it at all is really the question.
Oh, I was going to say Madden games lose their value basically overnight.
GameStop will rip you off for most of their games.
Well, that's true. It is GameStop.
Yeah.
It's
a huge copy.
I mean, even if you save $5, you can save $5 in like 25 hours, I guess, like after the game's released. Because, I mean, they're going to sell the used copy for, what, 55, I guess, today right. or tomorrow? Yeah, I know.
So that's, I don't know. I find that to be, because most of the games that they sell that are used are, like, grimy, you know, somebody, like, licked them or, you know.
I know every time I go to take a pile of used games into trade, I take a point to lick each one and also wipe them on my butt.
Yeah, exactly. See? If XP's doing it, everybody's doing it.
But, you know, I'm special.
So have you guys had any, like, used game horror stories? Have you ever gotten a game and it's, like, you know, it's got a funny smell, it's half melted, or have they usually been pretty safe when you got used games?
You know, I remember the glory days of the actual Funko Land before GameStop acquired them. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it was the best experience to buy used stuff. I would buy used stuff specifically because they would give you a better warranty on it than the new stuff.
Wow.
You spend $15 to buy a cleaning kit, and they would give you a year's replacement, where I've had them even tell me at the counter, if you throw this off a balcony and bring it into us, we will give you another one.
Wow.
I think we like to lose money. I like that.
Yeah, that's why they got bought.
Made customer loyalty because I always went back. You know,
GameStop dissolved that right quick, didn't they?
Yeah.
I think that the thing I didn't really like about Funko Land was when you bought the stuff, it didn't. They would be like, it wouldn't come with the box or the game, or like not the game. Of course, it would come with the game. It wouldn't come with the box.
This is Funko Land, not eBay.
Right. The user manual, which back then those suckers were huge, you know.
They were important back then, yeah.
So
but
it
you
was
know what
like
my best memory of Funko Land is it from long enough ago that this was possible. All of the games they carried were printed on a 2-page sheet of paper.
I remember that. Okay,
yeah,
I remember. Yeah.
I imagine in a box somewhere. I actually still have a couple of those from like 1991 or 1992.
The Funko Land that I went to, it was so possible that they were able to arrange the games in a case, in like a glass case. Like they were able to use, that's how like significant like used games were, I guess, back then, that they were able to stack them up and be like, oh, this is, you know, and you could choose which cartridge that you wanted of the game that you wanted to buy. That's pretty, I mean.
It was definitely a different time with Funko Land.
Yeah.
And then GameStop became a monopoly, and so sad.
Yes.
But no, even after that, when it was GameStop and EB, I never really had any terrible experiences buying used games.
They're pretty safe. I imagine at like mom and pop stores, it's probably a little bit more risky. But, I mean, for better or worse, GameStop seems to be pretty, I guess, systematic about checking stuff, and you know.
Yeah. Worst I ever got was like a scuffed up disc, and thanks to the advent of disc resurfacers, both on their part and mine, that's really not a problem anymore.
Mm-hmm. Now there was the one time I got one off of eBay where even a resurfacer wouldn't actually make it play.
The seller was
really good about it. I only paid a few dollars, so they just went ahead and refunded me and told me to throw the disc away.
That means they dug something into that sucker. I mean, they ripped those grooves right out. I do remember when it was at GameStop, though, my friend bought a game, and they were trying to sell him a used one. And my friend's like, there's like some scratches on here. He's like, yeah, it'll probably play. But there was just like scratches just all across the disc. And he's like, I don't think I want that one.
Okay, so guys. When you were 8 years old, did you have a sponsor and a God-given gift for fighting games?
Definitely not.
Well,
I used to play them, but I just wasn't that good.
Well, if your answer is no, like New Rob was saying, and you're like 99.999% of all of humanity... you have nothing in common with Mr. Noah Solis. So Noah Solis came out of nowhere this year, and he made waves at the Evo fighting game tournament in Las Vegas. He was in the top 50, number 48, actually, at Evo 2011, playing Marvel vs. Capcom 3 specifically. So Noah who's quite articulate, actually, for an 8-year-old. I don't know. Maybe my perception of 8-year-olds is, like, way off, but I perceive them to probably be more like 30-year-olds, because I'm a 30-year-old man with no kids. Anyway, as an 8-year-old, he's very smart, and he is now sponsored by a clothing/hip-hop label. That's awesome. Called the Traveling Circus.
The hip-hop label? It's gonna next, he's going to be, like, flying on, you know, he's going to be joining the Mile High Club with
Snoop
Dogg.
Yeah, if you know what I mean. If you know what I mean. Once he is 16, or 17, actually, 17 in Texas. Peter. Anyway, Noah is 8 years old. He's sponsored now by the Traveling Circus. So he's probably going to be paid to go to tournaments. Essentially, that's what sponsorships mean these days. He's going to be at every major tournament playing Marvel vs. Capcom 3. Look out for him. And if you're like us, looking back on your life, thinking, wow, I am failing compared to Noah, don't be sad. I mean, you're just like the rest of humanity. It's just this one kid.
Except for the Koreans.
Jesus has come back to Earth, and he plays Marvel vs. Capcom 3, apparently. Also, wears hip-hop clothing. Go figure. Go figure. Hey, if you're into PC gaming, you should perk up, because Razer Blade is the new, like, ultimate laptop for gamers. So check this out. The point of Razer's Blade, it's actually called Blade, the laptop, is its unique touchpad controls. So this is the newest, greatest thing in gaming laptops. The touchpad on this thing is actually, essentially, kind of like an iPhone. It's a touchscreen, and it is functioning just like an iPhone. Some of the fun stuff on this laptop. So the touchscreen can basically function like a second monitor. It's unique. It's trackpad. It can also be used as a mouse alternative if you want to do that. Razer has worked in custom gestures that will allow gamers to perform macro-like functions with a special swipe across the pad. It sounds like borderline cheating, but I digress. Anyone who's tried to play first-person shooters, for instance, knows that a trackpad is not easy to use. But Razer claims that playing shooters with their Blade's touchpad is almost as good as using a mouse.
That's exactly what I want in a precision gameplay environment. Almost as good.
As a mouse. Almost as good as a mouse.
Almost as good. Not nearly as good.
So it's got a 17-inch display. It's only 0.88 inches thick. How about that?
Huh.
Yeah, since it's made from aluminum, it's less than 7 pounds. And under the hood, you get a 2.8 gigahertz Intel Core processor, 8 gigs of memory, 17.3-inch display, as we said, built-in HD webcam, so everybody can see every pore of your face as you're blowing them away. Let's see here, what else? Wireless network compatibility, I would hope so. I don't know why they put that into the specs. That would be awesome if you could only hardwire it. After all this.
Or if it didn't even come with a network adapter at all.
It's like, hey, does anybody have a wall? And yeah, awesome. It's like, I'd love to play you, but I need to like go get a room at the Holiday Inn. Okay, so of course you'll have to pay for this bad boy. The Razer Blade will retail for $2,800. Still, it's pretty slick looking. And if you ever wanted, say, a laptop with an iPhone shoved in, and a whole lot of gaming geekiness infused throughout, and you've got $3,000. This is for you.
There's a lot of things I want an iPhone shoved in, but this really was not on the list. I have to be honest.
I didn't expect to hear that tonight, but I'm glad I did. I'm glad. So that brings us to the topic, guys. This is a good one. So I think we've got a fair mix of PC and console gamers in the room here. So here is the setup. So Valve is usually thought of as a PC-centric company, and in recent years they've tried to make moves to up the sales and the prominence in console gaming of their titles. So Portal 2 came out this spring, and turns out that Portal 2 was way more popular on the PC than the console, despite heavy marketing of the console versions. And Left 4 Dead was actually the opposite earlier this year. So it got heavy play on the PC market, but it turned out to be a better console performer than a PC performer, which kind of brings up the question, when a game comes out often it's kind of typecast as a PC game or a console game, even when it's available for both. So I ask you guys, do you guys kind of typecast games when they come out as, oh, that's a PC game, or, oh, that's a console game? And if you do, is it based on the genre? Is it based on, like, tradition of, like, you know, that type of game's a console game? Or is it the title itself? I mean, what is it that goes through your head when you're, like, trying to figure out PC, console? Like, you know, what is this when you see it?
In my limited experience with it, I would tend to think of strategy games as being more suitable for a PC, because a lot of time there's not a lot of, like, fast interactions required, and often it's like an 84-key control setup, which doesn't really work so well on a console. But for a Grand Theft Auto or an action-y game like that, the console, the regular controller format seems to make the functions easier.
Hmm.
Yet at the same time, I know an awful lot of people who swear by keyboard and mouse controls for shooters, which I've never been fully comfortable with, because I really didn't start playing shooters until they came to consoles.
What?
Oh. And our producer chimes in with his comments.
I actually I didn't grow... Oh, this is really disgusting. Sorry, I hit a... I actually disagree, because I didn't grow up playing Counter-Strike or anything like that. And while I did use a computer to play first-person shooters, I grew up in the GoldenEye. I played GoldenEye a lot in that era. And that, well, if you put it in perspective of, you know, all the computer ones that were around, then yes. It sounds like, I'm pretty sure they can't hear you, so it sounds like I'm talking to...
Oh, yeah, our producer's talking in our ear, everybody, so if it sounds like we're crazy, we probably are.
He's talking trash on GoldenEye over here.
Yeah. What's up with this?
GoldenEye was a fantastic console shooter, and you can't deny that, because, I mean, it's a 15-year-old game, and it paved the way for console shooters. And then when you added a second joystick, that made it fantastic. It was one of those things that I was immediately able to understand. And I rarely played first-person shooters on the PC, so...
But I guess they started on the PC, which is a big thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they definitely did. But I don't think... Fine. Yeah, there are a lot of things that you can classify, like strategy. I agree with XV. Strategy, definitely. Like real-time strategies or MMOs or that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
but
there's been exactly one RTS game I ever played that controlled well on console, and that was Dune for the Genesis.
Interesting.
Yeah, but, I mean, even, like... They tried to make StarCraft for N64, and it was... They either didn't make it, or it flopped horrendously.
I'm not sure. I wasn't sure if it ever came out or not.
Yeah, well... I just know that it doesn't make any sense, because it's...
Is it because of the inputs, basically? Just the way the game functions? It's just not going to work on a console controller?
Yeah, exactly. Because it would be like, you would have to, if a mouse, you know, you're on the StarCraft, you would be like, oh, I want to go to the map, and you just click specifically to the map. It's a lot faster to scroll or to throw the map and to just watch it. But when you're on a...
Yeah, I think that's the point of distinction here, really.
Yeah. But first-person shooters, I think... I mean, there are still loyal first-person shooter people, like on Battlefield or Call of Duty, who... The Call of Duty people got really pissed when they got rid of the dedicated servers, so they couldn't cheat anymore, so they couldn't put mods and stuff on it.
Mm.
And so there's obviously a market there, but I think the reason that maybe Portal did well was kind of like because of Steam. Steam was pushed heavily, and Left 4 Dead was very slow when it came to, like, PC updates, like DLCs and stuff like that. It was much slower than the console versions. So that might have been a reason as well.
Well, you know, the landscape's kind of different, too. A lot of consoles might be better at actually playing the games than the average computer person will have.
Yeah, sure. Right. The hardware itself.
And I don't have to upgrade my graphics card every year.
Exactly.
It's fantastic.
Yes, exactly. That's true.
you know, that is the one thing I've always said in favor of consoles. I put the game in and it plays. That's really all I want. But
when you put down $60,
sometimes you want to get technical difficulties. Sometimes, but most of the time, you just want to play the game.
Right. Yeah. Right. And I mean, you know, it seems like even still today, depending on the game, you kind of have to look at like the system requirements, right? So I mean, that's kind of a defeating moment when you have to like ask yourself, okay, is my rig good enough for this game? So it's kind of like this odd, nervous moment when you're reading.
Then there's that sad trombone part where you realize, no.
I know a guy who built a whole new computer just to play Final Fantasy 14,
and then it was outdated 2 weeks later.
Right, yeah. So, gosh. There's something to be said for putting in a game, and it just works. It just works. Mm-hmm. You know, Peter, the other thing that you brought up, which I thought was interesting, is also there's probably most definitely a game maker bias one way or another. So when you talk about DLC and kind of the attention that's paid to a game, the game makers are probably more comfortable or frankly just more prone to think one way or another. You know, when they think about keeping the game up to date, they probably default to console or PC depending on what they do, which is interesting. You know, so some games will get kind of neglected if it's a PC game and it happens to have like a console port or vice versa. I mean, you're going to get like this delay. It's not like I at least as far as I know, games don't really get like a global update. Not yet. So that definitely hurts it.
Yeah, I know for a fact that Valve has been promising an update to the console version of Team Fortress 2 for ages now, and it has never happened. Meanwhile, the game on PC is entirely different from what came in the orange box.
Yeah, yeah, Valve, of all things, I think, is still very PC-biased. I mean, they're remaking Counter-Strike, for crying out loud.
Yeah. So I have to wonder... Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I have to wonder in the Left 4 Dead 2 case where the, you know, the DLC was on consoles first, I kind of have to wonder if that was a, kind of a chicken and egg case where it came to the consoles first because that's where it was selling better.
Mm-hmm.
And not specifically because that's what they had planned originally.
We may never know, Rob. Never know. Hey, on that note, I think we'll wrap up the show. So, hey, thanks, guys, for listening, watching New Sound Wave 95. Real quick, just as a reminder, we are giving away two Death Adder Gaming mice. All you got to do is tweet, Facebook, email, yell really loudly in your front lawn. What is your favorite Transformer? Could be the favorite character, could be favorite toy. We really don't care. We just want to hear from you. And then we're going to pick the winner on the September 14th show on Radio Free Cybertron, one of our sister shows. And we're also going to share some of the best, most favoritist Transformers that we get from you guys. So please let us know. If you're going to email contact@tfradio.net. Tell us what your favorite Transformer is. But like I said, that will do it this week for New Soundwave 95, for the cast, for Peter, for Rob, for XV. I'm John, and we will see you next week.
2-1-0 Game over.
Mother. You're alive.
Too bad. You will die.
This has been New Soundwave. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Check out all our videos at tfvideo.net. New Soundwave is a Radio Free Cybertron production.